Amen. Let's talk about a nation united. And let's talk about a nation divided. And let's talk about a nation that wants to be healed. Now, when I first started this, I named this sermon A Nation Divided, A Nation Healed. And then I realized that we have not been healed. And so it's all about a nation healing. We're not done yet. The year was 1804. The place was Oahu, New Jersey. Two men stood in an opening, in a clearing, back to back. Pistol in front of them. They paced off and turned. Alexander Hamilton fired his pistol, missing Aaron Burr. It hit the tree in back of him. Aaron Burr fired and hit Alexander Hamilton. Aaron Burr was the sitting, active vice president of the United States of America. Alexander Hamilton was the former secretary of the Treasury. Seriously? This is how we deal with conflict? This is how we resolve our arguments? These two had been at each other's throats, hammer and tong, for years. And that's how it ended. And that the next day, Alexander Hamilton died. Really? Welcome to America. You know, a lot of times on these holiday weekends, on these Independence Days, we say July 4th, 1776, and it's fireworks and red, white, and blue, and we think that it was easy and done. No. Oh, my goodness. No. July 4th, 1776, 242 years ago, was not just the beginning of an amazing democracy. It was the beginning of a mess. Because we're still building the bridge that we are walking on. This most amazing democracy in the world, we're still trying to figure it out. And so on July 4th of that year, that's when we broke loose from the most powerful empire on the face of the planet, the British Empire, the most incredible military force the world had ever known. And here was a bunch of ragtag people scattered from the tip of New Hampshire in the north, all the way down the eastern seacoast, 13 colonies down, to the southern coast of Georgia. How would they even communicate? They forget getting along together. They couldn't even communicate together. There was an informal network of newspapers, and they would print pamphlets, but there was no electronics. There was no telephone, telegraph, television. No, none of that. This was radical when they came together. Radical. And it was a mess. Now, as we go deeper into this, I want to give you a lens through which to look. I want to give you the lens of today's gospel lesson. So let me recap that lesson for you. I love this story, but what you need to realize is that every story that's in the gospels, they're just giving you the surface story. Underneath it, there is something much more powerful, and that's where we're going. So, Jesus is out with his disciples, and Jairus comes to him. Jairus is Jewish. He is a congregation leader, a synagogue leader in one of the towns over, and he comes into Jesus and says, my 12-year-old is dying. Can you heal her? And Jesus says, let's go. He's surrounded by his disciples. Oh, but he wasn't the only one who heard those words. Yeah. Let's go. I can heal her. Other people said, really? Really? You're going to heal somebody? Can I watch? And away they came. And so the crowd is going down the road. Now, as they're going, a woman who has been bleeding for 12 years sneaks up behind Jesus and says, I have tried everything. I've spent every penny on doctors and cures. Nothing has worked. If I could just touch this guy, I think something might happen. She sneaks up behind him in the crowd and reaches out and touches him. And lo and behold, something happens. She is somehow healed inside, and she can tell it. And Jesus stops and says, whoa, who touched me? And his disciples look at him like he is ridiculous. and say, what do you mean who touched you? You mean every person on this entire road that's crunching around you? And Jesus said, no. Who touched me? And the woman said, yeah, that'd be me. And Jesus says to her, good job. Your faith has made you well. And so they continue down the road, and pretty soon they're met by the caregivers of this 12-year-old little girl. And the caregivers said, oh, thank you for coming, but don't bother, she's dead. And Jesus says, oh, she's just asleep. And the caregivers say, no, dead. We know dead, she's dead, we know what dead looks like, this is dead, dead. And Jesus said, come on. Let's keep going. He goes over to her house, takes her by the hand, and says, Talitha kum, time to get up. And she gets up. You and I would look at that story and we would say, this is the story of two healings. Oh, no. It is way deeper than that. Now, let's begin with the fact, you ready for the obvious? Jesus was Jewish. That's really important to know, because here's the deal. If you were a good, God-fearing, obedient Jew, there were certain things you did and did not do. You were supposed to obey the rules. You were supposed to rest on the Sabbath. You were supposed to eat the right food. You were supposed to associate with the wrong people. And one of the things that Jesus did was to break the rules all the time. It wasn't about the spirit of the law, it was about the spirit of God that he was after. Here's what you need to know. Let's go into the deeper level. The Gospel of Mark was written by at least one man, if not men. That writer was very Jewish. The first person that Jesus came across was a woman who was bleeding for 12 years. It's written by men. Let me tell you what they were really saying, because they were too embarrassed to write this. What they were saying was that for 12 years, this woman had had menstrual issues. She could not be healed in that internal cycle that was hers. If you were Jewish, you were forbidden to talk with a woman who was at that point in her cycle. They were too embarrassed to write this inside of the gospel. But that's what they were saying. And what happens? She reaches out and touches him, but it was touch. And that was absolutely against the rules. And Jesus stopped and said, where are you? And he talked with her. It's not bad. It's bad enough that he broke the rules once. Now he's flagrantly breaking the rules. You need to know that in this healing, Jesus was reaching out past the norm and breaking the rules. Then he goes on and he talks to this girl who's dead. Dead. We know what dead looks like. This is dead. She's dead. Dead. And the Jewish rule says, no, no. For purity's sake, you will not touch something dead. You will not touch a dead animal. You will definitely not touch a dead human. And Jesus reaches out and touches this dead girl and says, time to get up. And breaks all the rules again. I want you to see this. This is not just a story of two healings. It's not just about the two 12s. This is a story about the grace of God reaching out into places where, by the rules, it wasn't supposed to be. This was Jesus in an untenable, untouchable, intolerable impossibility of a situation, and simply reaching his hand out and saying, oh, I think we can fix that. Yeah, we got it. Grace of God. Now, take that lens. That's the lens that I want you to see. That's the lens that I want you to be looking through. Let's talk about American history. This flag that you see is the Star-Spangled Banner. How many of you have been to the Smithsonian Institute and have seen this flag, the Star-Spangled Banner? This is the actual flag that flew over the fort where Francis Scott Key was during the War of 1812. And in the fading light of the night, he absolutely did not know, as he was down in the bowels, that if that flag would be flying or not the next day. This, when he saw it in the morning, is exactly where those words came from. Oh, say, can you see? Oh, say, can you see? What so proudly we hailed by the twilight's last gleaming. This is where our national anthem came from, was this flag. 15 stripes, 15 stars, as our nation began to grow. I want you to look in the light of God's love and the reaching of grace at some of our national history, because we are a nation united, and yet simultaneously we're a nation divided, and simultaneously we are a nation healing. Look at this flag. This is Old Glory. 13 stripes, 13 stars. The Betsy Ross flag. In those earliest years, it was in 1776 that we declared independence, but we didn't win the war until 1783. A war of a bunch of ragtag, disorganized men fighting against the most indomitable military force the world had ever seen. And I don't know how we pulled that rabbit out of our hat, but we did. And in 1783, we wrote our Constitution, and it was a mess. In the years that were to follow up into the 1800s, they were horrible arguments. And at times, two men facing off in a field with pistols. And people died over these arguments. They were arguing about federal versus state power. Did the federal government have the most power, or did the state have the most power? And what did this say for the individuals? And they took it personally. It was a mess from the beginning. What I want you to see is that in 1776, when we celebrated this moment, we were a nation united and immediately a nation divided. There has not been 1 minute of our national history that we haven't been a divided nation arguing about something. But we had the fortitude to say, we're in it for the long haul, and we are going to seek healing together. And so we did. And so the 1800s came, and 1810 and 1820. This is the flag that we saw between 1830, 1860. It changed all the time as more territories became states, as we pushed the frontier back. And we grew, and we saw a growing unity, and yet we saw growing tension. Are you familiar with the phrase, the Trail of Tears? The Trail of Tears was a brutal part of our American history. Between the years 1830 and 1850, there were multiple relocations of those Indian tribes that were down in the southeast part of the United States, because the European settlers did not want to have to compete against them. The European settlers did not want those people on their property, as if it was their property. And so what we saw was that Indian tribes, entire villages, entire communities were picked up and forced west. Eventually west of the Mississippi, they just kept pushing and pushing. Tens and tens of thousands of people were relocated. On those forced walks, there were some of those that up to half died on the way. This is a mighty, an embarrassing scar on the face of our nation. We were a nation united, and yet a nation divided that did not know how to read that phrase in our Declaration of Independence, for all men are created equal. But here's what I want you to see. It's not about being stuck on the scars. It was all about healing. Now, here's where I want you to take that gospel lesson. And Jesus reached down into an untenable, untouchable, intolerable impossibility and said, oh yeah, we can do that. And he went where he wasn't supposed to go, and it worked. When we talk about our earliest years as a country, it is an untenable, untouchable, intolerable impossibility of a situation. How are we going to make this work? And we immediately began to work for healing. Where we were in 1830 is not where we are in 2018. We have come so far as we look at our Native American populations, but we have so far to go. We're not done yet. It's our hands that help with the healing. Did you know, dear South Dakota, that South Dakota has 6 of the nation's 10 poorest counties in the nation? And every single one of those, the base of that population is Native American. We have a long way to go. But here's the wonderful and amazing part. We're not done yet. We're a nation divided, and yet we are a nation that is working for healing. It's who we are. Well, now, look at this next flag. It's not flag, it's flags. It was in 1860 that Abraham Lincoln was elected, and oh my gosh, as we saw the Republican Party come into existence, the Republican Party came into existence because they could not stand what was happening between the previously existing parties, the Democrat Republicans and the Whigs, the Federalists, those previous parties. It was a mess. And the Republicans said, no, 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 we can do this. This is an untenable, untouchable, intolerable impossibility, and we can do something. And so Abraham Lincoln was elected. Did you know that when Lincoln was president, that simultaneously he was the most liked president in history and the most hated? Simultaneously. 1861, the cannons fire over Fort Sumter, and we are in war. To this day, there is no war that has claimed more American lives than that civil war, the war between the states, as just short of 400,000 of our children died. And the war ended. Appomattox Courthouse, 1865. And we came together. Oh, but we didn't come together. We were a nation united, but oh, so divided. And Reconstruction began, and it was so difficult. And there was a lot of things that we got wrong. What was the conflict? What was the conflict that separated us? It was states' rights. States' rights asking what was the power of the federal government and what was the power of the states' rights. And along with that was slavery. These power and racial issues sound familiar? We still deal with this to this day because we're not done healing. Just because a peace accord is signed in 1865 doesn't mean that peace has been arrived at. We're still healing. This is the process. Well, the nation came together again. The nation grew. The nation kept expanding. Matter of fact, we moved into this flag, the 48-star flag. Now we were one contiguous country. We were connected from the Atlantic to the Pacific, from Canada to Mexico. We were one. This is the flag that has flown over our nation for the longest period of time. And in that, we saw growth and we saw America come out onto the global stage. We saw all of these amazing things. But then, 1929, the stock market crashes. The Dust Bowl hits, and we are faced with a conflict that is not a war. We're faced with a conflict that is simply financial disaster, as an entire nation, an entire world, was scrambling to put things together. And we saw the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, and we saw inequalities and conflict inside of just our economic basis. It was an amazing moment in the life of the country as we figured out. But do you know how we got through that? Do you know how we got through an untenable, untouchable, intolerable impossibility? It was when people around the nation simply said, well, I guess we're in it together. And they reached out their hand and they started working. Exactly what Jesus was doing. Exactly what Jesus would have us do. How do we reach out into the impossibility, into conflict, into disagreement, into all the things that go wrong inside of our lives? How do we reach our hand out and in the love of Christ to say, well, I know that I shouldn't do this, but I think I can help. I can help. I can help. I can help. 1959. Here's today's flag. 50 stars, 13 stripes. And here we are as this amazing nation. A nation united, and yet you know that that's not exactly true. We still are a nation divided. And it's messy. Welcome to democracy. I can't remember who said it. But he said, you know, a democracy is basically the worst form of government on the face of the planet, except for all the others. It's messy. And the way that we do it is that we, together, and especially when we say that we follow Jesus Christ, it's not that the nation, that it's not that our neighbors have to be Christian, it's not that they have to agree, it's that we have to take responsibility to say, we follow Jesus Christ, and it's our hand. You know, this year is the 50th anniversary of so much chaos. In 1968, we watched as Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated on the balcony of a hotel, and we watched as Robert Kennedy was assassinated at a rally. And we watched in the Democratic National Convention of that year as Chicago went up in flames and riots, and we saw racial tensions explode, and we saw political tensions explode, and it was just a mess. And yet somehow we came out of that. Name today the things that are a mess. We live in a government and in a nation that's a mess. And the point is not that it's a mess. The point is not that we are a nation united and a nation divided. The point is that we are a nation that is healing. We're a nation that's healing. And Jesus reached out his hand into an untenable, untouchable, intolerable impossibility and said, yeah, I can help with that. And he broke all the rules and he reached out and helped. You and I are invited to reach out and help. You and I are invited to take our faith and to put into our nation. Amazing. Amazing. We have been invited to participate in the healing of our nation using our faith. Now, we're not the only ones. I love it when we have contact and we watch our brothers and sisters at St. Joseph's, as we watch what the Catholic Church is doing in our nation, as we watch what the Baptists and the Lutherans and the Pentecostals, as we watch those who are Jewish, as we watch those who are Muslim, as we watch those who are Orthodox, as we watch those who are and are and are. We watch people of faith listening to those words of Jesus to say, this is an untenable, untouchable, intolerable impossibility. I can help. That's our call. Together with the rest of America to say, what is it that unites us? We know we're divided. What is it that unites us? What is it that we hold in common that can be a blessing to the world around us? What is it? This is the power of our faith today. May it be that this week, as we celebrate together and the fireworks go up and the watermelon gets cut and the burgers and the brats come off the grill, I want you to remember that you live in a nation that is incredible, where we have the freedom to exercise our religion, to exercise our faith in the midst of untenable, untouchable, intolerable impossibilities. We take our faith in our hands and say, here, I can help and I can heal. In Jesus' name, may you, in the midst of a nation divided, be the hands of a nation healing. Amen. Would you pray with me? So, Lord, we want to give thanks for this country. We want to give thanks for our ability to make a difference. So, Lord, lead us in Christ's name. Amen.